Hi, this is Michael Dorn, Lieutenant Commander Worf from Next Generation and Deep Space Nine, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Tea, Earl Grey, hot.
It's time for another serving of Earl Grey, our dedicated TNG show. I'm Darren Moser in the center chair this week. Daniel and Philip are down in the transporter room ready to welcome aboard this week's guest host, Mr. Prue Energize.
Bleep, blorp, bloop, blorp.
No, Dan, welcome it's not, back,
you just
Amy.
Don't wave your hand.
I'm expecting gestures, Daniel, gestures. Even though the podcasters can't see you, but... Welcome back, Amy. We had such a great time with you on Earl Grey episode 137, Encounter at All Good Things, the latest game from the mind of Philip Gilfist. Welcome back to the 1701D.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be back on Earl Grey.
So, Amy, first I wanted to, for listeners who hadn't heard you before, just tell us about how do you celebrate your Trek fandom? What kind of sci-fi things are you a part of?
I'm a part of a lot of fandoms, actually. Aside from Star Trek being my main one, which I show my fandom by being a panelist. This year, I am a panelist for 7 panels over 3 Star Trek conventions, including Star Trek Las Vegas and another creation event for Chit and Cherry Hill. And I have my own blog, Shoes and Starships, where I blog about not only Star Trek and other genre-related things, but also a little bit about feminism in pop culture, some travel, and I was really involved with the revival of the X-Files this past January. So I got a lot of, got some great interviews for that. And I also have been contributing to Legion of Leia, Screen Prism, and Trek Movie. Definitely visit Trek Movie. Kaylee Iacovino runs that, and she's always one of my fellow panelists at Vegas when we do our Women in Trek panel. So we're hoping to do that again this year.
Awesome. Well, from some of that expertise is why we brought you on board this week, Amy. We are going to be talking about Star Trek Las Vegas. Yes, it is only a month away. It is coming very quickly.
It feels like I've been like prepping forever.
I mean, Stardate-wise, that's like, you know, the decimal point 0000005.2, you know, Stardate away. It's very close. It'll be here before we know it. But I wanted to talk about conventions, talk about specifically Star Trek Las Vegas, but we wanted to create a Star Trek Las Vegas survival guide episode for our listeners and listeners of Trek FM and listeners who are attending, you know, this great convention, because some people have not been to conventions. Some people haven't been to conventions in the middle of the desert. And we figure there are a lot of things to
get ready
for.
Very unique experience to have that con in Vegas. It's the only one I ever go to in Vegas.
Yeah, it's the only thing dragging me to Vegas as well. So
literally, if it wasn't there, I wouldn't go back.
So I wanted to start off with just going around the conference table, what everyone's experience with conventions are, be it Creation Entertainment, who are the hosts of Star Trek Las Vegas, or other fandoms. Daniel, let's start with you at the beginning square.
Okay, I'm glad you're going to start with me.
And I don't know why you had Daniel sit on the very other end of the conference table for this one, Darren. We're all grouped up front near the screen.
Oh, this is great. This is great. It gives me a chance to stretch my legs, maybe, you know, get ready to talk for a little while here. My convention experience up to this point, Star Trek or otherwise, very simply put, none. A convention virgin through and through, all the way.
May the gods have mercy on your soul.
Yeah, so,
don't worry, Daniel. You have a lot of fans and friends around you that are going to help you survive this convention for the first time.
One of us.
Just do everything. Just turn off your brain and do everything we tell you to do.
Oh yeah, no, I'm just
like some
sort
of.
You're gonna love it.
Hive mind of collective.
I was thinking more weekends at Bernie's, but we can figure that out. So, all right, Philip, what is your experience with conventions, Star Trek or otherwise, past or future?
Well, the future. Wow. We're getting into the fourth dimension here. Okay. Let's see. For Star Trek conventions, I've been to two creation ones. For Star Trek, most of my experience is in the early 2000s. So I've been to two creation ones in North Carolina here. There was one in Raleigh. I forget like the names of it, but I was covering it as press at the time, because when you work for a newspaper, you can be like, I have an idea for a story. You know, it's just kind of random. There's this convention of Trek. I think it's what it's called in Raleigh. How about sending me to go?
I just happen to have this uniform lying around in my closet. Someone left it here.
Sucker. So yeah, I got them to pay for that. But anyway, and so they had all the sort of like, except for the top trio, had all the original series folks. Of course, Doohan was still living there, so I got to see Doohan, Nichelle Nichols, George Takei. I'm going to talk to Walter Cohen. So you're not the only one, Darren. Stop walking around like that. He was walking around, and I did actually stop and talk to him. And be like, I'm not doing autographs. I'm like, no, I'm pressed. And so I got to talk to him for a while.
Say nuclear vessels. Say it.
In Durham. Later, there was a creation one where it had Michael Dorn was sort of the guest one. I actually got to ask, they did like a trivia portion, and I actually got to ask him a trivia question because I'm always going to be the first one who stands up and asks questions. I'm not bashful. I did go to Vegas for a Star Trek convention. I mean, I guess technically it was Star Trek Vegas, but this was, again, early 2000s, so it didn't strike me as big. And I actually forget where it was, honestly, because I'm sure it was before the Rio. It may have been the Hilton, I assume, at that time. Yeah, because the Experience, of course, was there then. Star Trek Experience, for those who I got to see all the time, because I lived, this is when I lived in California, because I used to be kind of, that's so LA. and so I used to go to Vegas all the time. So I can tell you all about Vegas, you know, as an aside, but as far as conventions. Because I remember the high point I saw was Mulgrew was there. And so I got to hear her speak.
My homegirl.
And then...
Voyager's still on the air.
No. No, that ended in the 90s, yeah. That was Enterprise time. And so as far as other conventions, I've been to some Doctor Who, Chicago TARDIS, and then different conventions here in North Carolina, Heroes Con. Actually been to some horror convention in Charlotte, which actually was pretty good. Actually, Shatner was there. And some other ones, too, so that's sort of mine. So I'm more Vegas expert than necessarily modern Star Trek Vegas. But.
Well, the two main conventions that I've gone to, the yardstick that I will be comparing what is to come.
DragonCon.
Are actually two Star Wars conventions, both here in LA, because, you know, if I can avoid traveling, I do. But I went to Star Wars Celebration 4, which was in LA back in 2007. That was the 30th anniversary of episode 4. And that's when I first saw the 501st and was inspired to eventually do my stormtrooper armor. And that was a lot of fun.
One of them.
Yeah. You know, it's nice when you're able to do a full con, go every day and really kind of spread out your enjoyment. And then most recently, just a year ago, gosh, it's already been a year. Celebration Anaheim, which was for prepping up for the Star Wars The Force Awakens, and that was right here in Anaheim, so that was even closer, and that was a great convention. It was really, I'm going to say it right now, it has set the bar high for me that Creation's going to have to live up to, so I don't know if they will, but I think... I have the benefit of having, again, so many friends joining me at Star Trek Las Vegas. So two conventions, but there are a lot of local cons that I want to try to get into, like the Kamikaze Con that Stan Lee puts on.
My editor at Legion of Leia, Jenna Bush, she always does like 10 panels at that thing. She's very involved with Kamikaze.
Yeah, Kamikaze, Long Beach Comic Con's coming up in a couple months, so... It's just a so LA thing to have cons like every other month, apparently. So, you know, if I think they're
nerd thing. It's a summer nerd thing.
There's a Gamers Con. I think there's, you know, Gallifrey One convention. There's all sorts of things going on. So, but I have to say, I'm very excited for next month. So, Amy, we'll give you the next 20 minutes to talk about your con experience.
I have extensive con experience. I actually don't think I could. I think I've lost count, actually. So in the last 10 years, since 2006, which is when I graduated college. I have been going to Chiller Theater in New Jersey. That was one of the first little conventions I went to. And Chiller was great because they get some Star Trek guests, but it's a primary horror genre convention. But it's great because you can just go on up to the celebrity table. You can chat with them for as long as they want. I met Edward James Olmos, who played Captain Adama on Battlestar Galactica, as well as several other people.
Admiral Adama.
Yeah. Oh, Admiral, yes. Admiral. yeah. And I've gone to a ton of ones in New York. Big Apple Comic Con was around for a few years. They got, I was working on my BSG signatures, obviously, but I met Kay Mulgrew there a couple times. She's my homegirl. I see her whenever she does a play in the city. We have a group of totally Kate fans online on Facebook, so we kind of follow her from convention to convention. But I've been to the Creation Cherry Hill, and it used to be Philadelphia. They moved. Now they used to be up in the Hilton in Parsippany, New Jersey for a little while after they were in Philly, and now they're back down in Cherry Hill, which is much closer to Philadelphia. And I've been to that like the last 5 or 6 years, maybe more. And I've been to New York Comic Con probably 10 times. that has gone from like a really nice convention to one that's really become unmanageable in terms of you getting your individual goals for conventions. Like if you have a panel you want to see, good luck. You're going to have to camp out for most of the day to get into that panel now. And I went to San Diego Comic Con in 2013, and that was the only time I ever need to go there. I don't need to go back. It was very overwhelming. And I'm an outgoing person, and I love hanging out with my friends. And, you know, I know some people, they need their me time after a convention. You know, you're more introverted and stuff. And San Diego Comic Con was enough to, like, turn me into an introvert. There was so much, and so much you couldn't actually do. I didn't go to a single panel in the convention hall. You just can't get in. It's absurd. I'm lucky I got on the floor when I did. But as for Creation in Las Vegas, this will be my sixth Vegas. The time I went out was in 2000.
The undiscovered country.
It is. Maybe it's my fifth. Because, yeah, the first time I went out in 2011 I had just gotten married in May of 2011, and the first time I went out for Vegas was in that August. So it was a really great time, and I was so excited because I had not yet met Terry Farrell. I hadn't met, I don't think I'd actually met Jonathan Frakes at that point. But now I have met every living member of all of the cast. And I met Leonard Nimoy a couple times before he passed away, so that was great. Oh, I saw him at a little convention in Massachusetts in like 2006, 2007. And we were supposed to have Patrick Stewart, but he's a chancellor at a university in England. And he had to cancel because they had some sort of commencement activity. They were like, well, we'll get you Spock. And we were like, okay, that's acceptable. So that was really good. It was a really little convention. It wasn't completely Star Trek. It was just genre fandom at the French lady from Lost was there, Mira Ferlin, and everybody was all excited because they loved her from Babylon 5. But I only knew her from Lost.
Glenn! Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah.
She was the most interesting person to hear speak, honestly. She speaks like six languages. She's crazy. But yeah, I have a lot of convention experience now, so I guess that makes me the expert on this four-person panel tonight.
Yes, but to try to let it be a panel discussion, what I'm going to do is, as we go through our different talking points, people can jump in with their thoughts from either past experience or stuff they've read on the web, and Daniel's
read books, the best, he's seen advice. Movies,
he's going to be the finisher.
Yeah. He's watched, you've seen Trekkies too, right? You know?
Then Daniel will be the one who votes who has the best advice.
Have any of you seen the For the Love of Spock yet?
No.
No, they have a bunch of shots in there from Vegas last year, which was great. And one of my fellow panelists, I did a literature panel at Vegas last year, and it was just the general overview of Star Trek and literature. And my friend Claire Little, she helped. She's the Isolinear chick on Twitter, in case any of you tweet with her. She was, and Heather Barker, our fearless face group leader, they were both in the documentary in their full TOS outfits, and Claire had on her Spock ears and her Spock uniform. So,
oh, that's cool.
Got a little interview with Adam there, so that was really nice.
Well, first off, you know, we haven't even gone to Vegas yet. You might be flying, you might be driving, you might be walking, but you need to pack for Vegas. So for this, we're going to focus first on you're staying at the hotel, hopefully at the Rio, because it's in the Rio. It's like right there, and it's hot. I mean, it's August. You're not going to want to go outside. So if you can avoid going outside at all,
it's a dry heat.
Yeah, it's still a heat.
I have to tell you, the main thing about packing is that it's freezing cold inside the convention center.
Mm. See, I would think don't bring your jacket because it's Vegas, but
that's why I'm here to tell you need to bring a hoodie or something.
You know that they're pumping out that oxygen in the casinos.
You know, it is dry inside the venue, like very dry. You wake up and your sinuses hurt.
So maybe some lotion to keep the skin moist, probably a good idea.
Clean nose spray, I'm not lying. I know it sounds gross, but you will feel it. Because I don't like cigarette smoke, and it bothers my eyes, it bothers my sinuses, so.
Yeah, and I mean, Darren, and you know this, I know, but like for the temperature stuff for packing, I mean, you know, any change in temperature is going to seem cold. So like, you know, if it's 90 degrees outside and it goes down to like 75. Yeah. So if it goes down to like 78 at night, you're going to feel very, very cold. So, I mean, it's one of those things where be prepared to be really cold because in the desert, it's cold.
Layers is good. Layers under your cosplay is good. You know.
Depends. I mean, obviously some of the ladies will cosplay stuff that doesn't involve a whole lot of clothes. So I have always been like the cheerleaders, they always wear their adorable Starfleet cheer costumes. And I was like, aren't you freezing? And they're like, yes, we are very cold. I was like, yeah. So I always wear like leggings under my dress, you know, make sure I bring socks if I'm going to be sitting around waiting for an autograph for a while.
So Daniel, leggings, layers, and lotion.
Well, so like Amy, as you've reflect upon your Vegas and con experiences, when you've actually traveled, like what are the stuff you've been like, oh man, I need to bring that next year?
I always bring a pair of scissors and tape. I know that sounds weird, but it has always come in handy for some, you don't know what you're going to need it for. Even if they're just little scissors that fold up, they're still helpful.
Now, one area I wanted to ask you guys about is, especially because for you, actually for all of you guys, you are all flying in. So you have to pack not just for several days, but also what you can put on the airplane. And I'm sure there's a category of things where it's more economical to just buy it there, you know, versus that, you know, packing it in your bag. It's like, oh, yeah, maybe not something like a jacket or something that's more expensive, but does anyone think of something where it might be helpful to just pick it up while you're there? I mean, you're not going to bring food or things like that.
Well, you know, it's actually been.
Though it's good to get like a big pack of water.
Mm. Like a flat of water bottles.
Like when I've gone a couple of times, I had paired it with a big road trip and we went through all the national parks in like Arizona and stuff. And even when I went it must have been 2013. And we went to Grand Canyon West. It was only like one extra day, but we stopped and got water and you can just put that in your fridge. And then when you're in your room in the morning, you know, grab one, take down with you, that kind of thing. You might have, they have like a refilling thing in the back of the auditorium. They have a big water bottle refilling area and in the dealer's room too.
Yeah. Staying hydrated is really important. So yeah, like a flat of water or like a Nalgene bottle or something that's heavy duty.
Doesn't take up any weight in your suit.
Slap a carabiner on it or something. You can hang off your bag. A lot of camping vibe. It's
nice
pretty much like you're camping.
No one can see it. You know, a little tube comes out.
I actually pack granola. Like, I just stick like a box of granola bars in my suitcase.
You know, I mean, that's.
And you don't have to pay like $3 per granola bar.
and again, and we'll get in, I guess, Darren, you'll probably get into like what, how you plan your day, but like, you know, and I don't know what you people want to do when they're in Vegas, but like, no matter what you're going to do, you're going to be waiting in some sort of line. And like what you said about granola bars and stuff, like you're going to be munching. And again, you don't want to pay Vegas prices. So, you know, so that's, that actually is a very good
idea. There's a nice, like, conveniency type store in the Rio that's actually pretty good for snacks, and they don't have just junk. They have like other healthier options.
Yeah, my plan is to find like a Vons or a Safeway or whatever they have out there in Vegas the first day and just stock up the room.
So Casa de Earl Grey, folks, will be the snack shop for Trek FM. So
this we call it the Replomat.
Like, who's in what area, what room, text each other when we get there.
Are we renaming our room 10 Forward?
You should do it.
Well, exactly. We have to, and then Char's room has to be something Voyager, you know, themed, so.
Well, and I assume, Daniel, are you going to be doing Guinan or Ben for your second day of cosplay?
We'll see. It'll be a surprise, for sure. So
I'm excited. I don't cosplay as much. I'm not a huge cosplayer.
But, so yeah, so getting some stuff there, like food, is definitely value, and the snacking.
Bring, like, I mean, obviously, if you're cosplaying, you might have different luggage needs than depending on the size of your costume.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you have a wig, you need like to put the little head form that keeps the wig nice. You have to pack that with the wig. That's always a nice thing to take up a ton of room in your suitcase. But then,
like for 21st century stuff, like so for like chargers and
bring those little
Those cell battery chargers. Yeah, I have one of those.
That you can just plug your phone into, because people will be like, where's an outlet all the time now. That's something that's way more now than it was when I went the first time.
And I'll be bringing a power strip for the room so we can charge all of our electronics.
I always bring one.
So can we just unplug one of the slot machines and just plug in your
iPhone? Yeah, people will love that.
Yeah, I'm sure that runs on 120 power, Philip, so
Dabo.
That's if any international people are listening. That's a great point, is to make sure you have good American chargers. And if you get one, like a universal plug adapter, I have that because I do like to travel out of the country a lot. So I got one at Apple that will basically fit any country. So it has it's like a little kit, and it has like five or six different plugs in it, and you can like change them out. So it's
and then
good.
Again, if you plug that into a power strip, now you have, you know, a ton of plugs. Actually, if you bring a power strip from your country, then you mm-hmm. can charge all plug of your things so off of one adapter. American plug. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Good idea.
But, now, this is going to be a dumb question. I mean, how's the Wi-Fi? Because I imagine if you have
Wi-Fi is
odds many people using it.
The Wi-Fi is kind of slow. I actually haven't blogged or uploaded stuff from Vegas that hasn't been from my phone. So I can't attest to the speed of the Wi-Fi. If you're in your room and you're plugged in, that might be better. Also, you're just going to be exhausted when you come back. You're not going to want to go online if you can help it. You know what's happening. Everybody's there. Like, the only thing you need to do is show up for the panels and photo ops and meet your friends. I know I go like I'm this year. It's going to be the Olympics.
That's true. The Olympics are starting just before.
So 4 years ago when I went, the Olympics were on. And I remember we went to Emerald's restaurant. It's like a big sports bar. You can do a lot of betting. I think it was in the Venetian.
You bet on the Olympics, Amy?
For
I don't,
shame.
I don't bet on the Olympics.
For shame.
I am the worst advertisement for Vegas ever. I don't gamble. I hardly drink. And
you do subtle innuendo.
So that's a good list, a good start for packing. Another thing is
comfortable shoes.
Yeah, shoes, backpacks, and tubes. Having a backpack is really good. Having a tube, cardboard tube, if you want any sort of poster that you don't want mm-hmm. destroyed, it will not last 5 minutes in your bag.
Nope.
That's actually a good thing, you know, for people like me who really only go for the people in the merch. You know, do you just bring an extra bag just to like all the stuff?
It depends.
Or you can ship it home.
I am scared to ship stuff that gets signed home. I would not part with it.
That's true.
I have actually sat on a plane with stuff on my lap on the way home for 6 hours rather than ship it.
That's true. There is a bit of a risk, but I do know a lot of conventions, I'm not sure about Creation, that they'll have like a ship center in a corner.
They do not.
Well, that's just lame. But I'm sure you can find a FedEx station. I'm just saying it's an option. If you really want to buy that thing, but you're worried about not fitting in your suitcase, just...
You can even talk to the vendor who's selling it.
Yeah.
As well. That's true. A lot of people now are like, you can find me online. You can find my Etsy store. Oh, I ran out of this thing that your friend got, but now you want one.
And so what are the, I mean, I guess it depends what you get, but what are the rooms like at the Rio?
I actually really like the rooms at the Rio. They are very spacious. They say at their like whole advertising is every room is a suite. So usually it's two double beds, two twin beds, and a pull-out couch. So
it's on bed. I call it, guys.
Darn it!
The bathroom area is like, so there's like a sink area with a tile floor and a closet. And then the bathroom is separate with the toilet and the shower. So you can close the door. But if you're staying with friends and not like a spouse, this is weird. Some of the rooms have a little window between the shower and the bedroom. So I have
stayed. Why would you have that?
I have stayed with guy friends who are not my husband. And I'm like, just like, we have to put up some sort of blockade so you can't see each other showering. It's very weird. It's not every room. It's some of them, though.
We have that room, right? I just want to make sure.
And one thing about the rooms that has happened to me twice, which I don't like, obviously, is the shower leaks onto the tile floor, like in the corner of the where the door meets the wall. Sounds odd, but I've had that problem like two or three times, and I know other people have. The water pressure is intense. I think that's part of it. It hits the opposite wall with such force that it runs down. And it
Hoover Dam is just right there. I mean, that's...
And some people have said that there's a mold problem in the rooms, but I haven't experienced that, and I do have sensitive allergies. So hopefully it is at least rooms that not ones that I've been in, but who knows. But I like the room setup, and I think they are large and pleasant.
And then just another packing thing. What do you bring as far as preventive medicine, I guess? You know, the whole con crud.
So what I like to do, and when I go to a drugstore before I start the convention, I always get the antibacterial pump soap because they usually just have the bars of soap. And I don't like those. So I like to get like the foaming antibacterial soap. And this is a rule that I have in my house as well as whenever I'm traveling. As soon as I come into the hotel room, I wash my hands. So it's like
just clean
preventing space from touching all your stuff with germy hands that you've been touching things all day with.
Well, they say when you wash your hands, you should sing happy birthday to yourself twice. But we always do the Klingon birthday song that was sung at war. So it's like...
But yes, if you do a drugstore run, and I always like to do a drugstore run before, grab some more provisions that I didn't on the plane. I always get it.
I'm just going to slap an Uber sticker on my car and then just say, hey, need to go to the drugstore. Here we go.
That's how you're paying for all
there's
the merch.
There's a really big Dwayne Reed right across from Treasure Island, like under the Venetian.
And that's the nice thing. So by looking at maps, because I like maps, the Rio, it's not on the strip, but it's not that far. It's just kind of set back like a block or something.
But you can't really walk it because there's a whole bunch of highways between you and the strip.
Walk it, people.
And my friend,
is there a monorail there? Station?
No. You have to. Everybody takes cabs everywhere. There's a million cabs every time. Like the cabs just line up at every hotel.
Darren, we love you.
It's okay. $5 a ride. That's all I'm charging.
I wouldn't drive though because then you might lose your spot at the Rio, and B, there's nowhere to park on the strip.
That is true.
And they charge you anyway. So it's better to take a taxi.
The pack cab fare or Uber fare or Lyft fare or whatever it is.
It's all electronic now. You can just pay with card. Everybody takes card. They take any kind of money you want to give them in Vegas. But yes, a drugstore run.
Now, we won't. So for the actual panels and the organization, obviously, it'll probably change a little bit from year to year. And it seems like they don't really come out with the schedule until probably the week or so before, which...
This is the bane of my life, Darren. So I'm a panelist.
How is panel not going to know what panel he wants to go to?
We love you, Creation, and the fact that you don't release the schedule until 2 days before the convention. Yeah, they need to release it earlier, but I know it's a logistical nightmare, obviously, and they have even more programming this time than ever before. But I would personally love to know when my panel is before the week before.
Well, yeah, and I mean,
because I did. So I was on two panels last year, and then I helped Mary with her crafting panel, which is usually at the crack of dawn on Sunday. The last day of the convention, and you're like, kill me.
I mean, how do you suggest people plan their day, their weekend? I mean, like, you know, so they packed, they got there, or they're getting ready to go there.
Another thing to pack is sunscreen if you're going to go sit out by the pool. I mean, I usually try to get
in. Have a pool, Daniel. Take note.
Pack the Picard swimwear, Daniel.
I try to get in at least one pool day just so I have a little relaxing because it's so much walking. It is, the convention center is enormous. You guys are not ready. You're never ready for the hallway. And it's when we say the hallway, it's like capital the hallway.
I'm just imagining a cosplay for you, Daniel. It's very simple. Just go by the pool. Put on, you know, your regular Picard swimsuit and just have a Herg on right there.
I saw like people who had those little Razor scooters. I was like, that might be a good idea. Because I have missed photo ops because I was at the Starbucks and I didn't get down to the photo op room in time. Because it went really quickly and I was getting a coffee for my friend Chris, the photographer, and I missed my photo op, but it was very nice because Siroc Lofton took a picture with me later. So.
Well, one thing about scheduling, before Amy gives her 2 cents, you know, when I went to Celebration, the way I kind of approached it, because again, there's a ton of things, and I kind of took it as I had my one thing I wanted to for sure do that day, and then the rest was kind of like, if it happens, great. Like, I tried to not set myself up for...
You can do more than one thing at a Creation event. It's they do have a great thing in that they don't oversell the convention one more seat than in the main auditorium.
Which some people would say is not a great thing, but I know what you mean.
No, I actually think it is a good thing because if you have... I mean, you guys haven't been to New York Comic Con or San Diego Comic Con. Let me tell you, being guaranteed to be in a room with the people that you love, like to see on stage, is a nice thing.
Hmm.
Having a seat in the auditorium, even if it's far back, they still have screens up this year. They didn't used to do that, but now they have screens up in the middle of the hanging from the ceiling. It's a cavernous room. It's enormous. You're not ready, you guys, for the size of a convention center. And I think they've clocked it. My friend Nick, he posted a little map. You know how you can do your steps or track like your Nike path or whatever? It's like half a mile from the rooms to the convention center.
So good shoes. We'll say it again. Good shoes.
Do some cardio before the month before.
Or if you're like me and you want to wear your awesome sassy shoes at the convention, wear your flip-flops down to the during the big long walk and carry your sassy shoes. So,
they need to invest in some of those moving sidewalks we have at the airports because they seriously help.
Well, I mean, you know, having been to a lot of conventions, Star Trek conventions seem to be more skewed than usual to having a larger population of fans who have disabilities. So they really have, they do have available the scooters you can rent. They do have to be recharged. So sometimes you'll see someone on a scooter kind of hanging out right next to the wall charging their scooter. But also like people who have, you know, just like a walker or a cane, that kind of thing. I imagine it must be very tough on them to have to get down there and back every day. So they definitely put a lot of effort into making it accessible though. And it's, you know, it's a good convention center. I have to say they've really been, upgrading like the decor. The hallways are really cool now. They have all these banners. They have like, photo op areas with like a bunch of like a huge pile of tribbles, or like one of my favorite series of photos from last year was the Guardian Forever. Oh, and they have a transporter pad. They had a big bird of prey made out of balloons. So So like someone did like balloon art with like a giant bird of prey. And they had the Borg. That was one of my favorites. They had the Borg recharging station. And the best part was I got a picture of Alice Krieg. Kriega, I think is how you say her last name. I got a picture of her standing there in the Borg charging alcove. So that was really great. And of course, all the people dressed as Borg have like a nice photo op right there.
Right, right. Now, so they released 2 days ahead. We all know that's...
Yeah, I just kind of sit down and I highlight and then I write it down and see what conflicts.
Do they have an app at all, or is it literally just a...
We do not have an app, Darren. We would love it.
I've told you, Celebration has ruined me. I have high standards for this.
Look, Darren, I don't know how they do it over at Star Wars, but here it's
Star Trek. Apparently we do it better. I'm just saying.
Here is Star Trek. We don't need no app. No, it would be nice to have an app, but I feel like, I don't know. I feel like they're maybe not at the point where they're organized enough for...
Mm-hmm. Now, I know for like, and it's probably personal preference, but I know for meals, I usually go big breakfast, big dinner, and then lunch small, that way to make the day go a little bit longer.
I usually actually do a small breakfast and then I wait to get something for lunch, but that's because I'm just not a super breakfasty person. I do the granola bar and like the tea and that's another thing. They have taken the coffee makers out of the rooms at the Rio as of this year.
Because
there's a bunch of restaurants and there's two Starbuckses, plural Starbucks. And they said you can bring your own coffee maker. They will still allow that. Some people will bring like a little hot pot thing. I've never done that. I mean, I'm not going to go all the way back up to my room to eat a dinner when I can go to like, In-N-Out Burger for like 5 minutes away. For like, that's the best place, by the way. Jara and I went last year and we got dinner for two people for $12.
In-N-Out is great. You guys will love it.
Mm-hmm. And then, I'm just throwing this out there. For people who don't know, I mean, this is maybe obvious. So Vegas is a, open container. Like you can take a drink and you can walk everywhere freaking in the whole city with it. Mm-hmm. And so just FYI, you can get a drink and walk out with it basically, And you know,
they give giant souvenir cup shaped like cowboy boots.
Yeah, you can be walking around with a drink the size of like Daniel's head. And I mean, that's pretty easy to get.
Is it green?
I'll admit,
they have to right at the front of the Rio, right when you walk in the door, like directly to the right, is a huge booze slushy station. And they are green. Some of them are green.
And of course, Earl Grey, of course, encourages moderation. But I remember the first time I went to Vegas, I was, I just went, on my own, just like day trip, because I just left your bus. And I sat down at a slot, I'm going to do the whole stereotypical thing. And then like waitress comes out of there, hey, you want something to drink? I'm like, sure, whatever. And then like she lays it down and walks away. I'm like, do I pay for that? Wait, are you telling me?
If you're gambling,
are you telling me I get free drinks for sitting in front of a slot? And then my mind was blown about Vegas.
They figure you're spending your money anyway. We might as well give you more alcohol to do it with.
That's not a bad idea.
If you plan to drink, do be careful because, again, Vegas, for those who haven't been, it's like any big city, but Vegas especially, it is a 24-hour cycle. It's like Deep Space Nine, 26-hour cycle. You may not realize how long you're up, what time of day it is. If you're inside the casino, you really may
literally... And there are no clocks, so...
Yeah. And if you're in a... obviously, we're all going to be at the Rio, but if you're in a place like the Venetian, they have fake sky, so it looks like it's sunny all the time.
It's like, Daniel, it's like being at Hogwarts.
No, it's not. Hogwarts is way better, I'm sure.
I wish, yeah.
The one thing about Las Vegas as a city is that you realize after a while that it's... Everything's really like shiny but fake. But Vegas as a city has a lot to do, especially you guys haven't been there before. Well, Phil, you said you have.
Yeah, I stopped in there at a Denny's on a road trip up to Montana, and that was about as long as I wanted to stay in Vegas. So
you're basically a local.
It's very overwhelming if you are not used to it. Very noisy. Like I said, there's a lot of cigarette smoke on the floor. They don't permit cigarette smoke in the convention center, thank God.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
But people do smoke outside, so sometimes...
A lot.
I mean, I wouldn't say on the whole there's a ton of smokers right outside the convention center, though. It's pretty good.
And then you will, you know, we're not going to go too crazy here, but when you're walking around, if it's still the same, it has been 10 years since I've been to Vegas, but like when you're walking around, there will be people handing you cards to shows.
Yeah, shows.
So feel free to...
I'm making finger quotes.
Right. So feel free to either collect them all or ignore them completely.
It's a lot better than it was, I think, from what I've heard from everybody else. They can really only do that on the Strip. They're not going to come over to the Rio and bother you. So the Rio, I like the fact that it's a little off the Strip, quite honestly.
So panels, Annie, what else are the highlights of Star Trek Vegas? Man.
Well, the panels, of course, mine are going to be the best, obviously. I'm doing one on Shakespeare and Star Trek with Brooke Wilkins, who you guys might recognize. She's very often cosplays as Major Kira because she looks exactly like Minna Visitor. She is a member of she works at this Utah Children's Theater, and she is very familiar with Shakespeare and with all sorts of dramatic arts. So I'm excited that she's going to be joining me to talk about Shakespeare and Trek.
And then, like,
a good panel. So there's my little ad for my panel. And I'm also hopefully going to be on the Women in Trek panel again. We're trying to get an actual woman from Star Trek on the panel. So Mary Serwinski runs that one. And last year it was myself, Mary Jara Hodge from Women at Warp and Trekkie Feminist, and Kaylee Iacovino from Trek Movie. I should say Dr. Kaylee Iacovino because she is an actual volcanologist.
Mm-hmm. And so, then, yeah. Like, I know my favorite part of Dragon Con in Atlanta was sort of going to the main lobby. I forget which one, but the big one. Going to the main lobby on the second floor or whatever it was, where sort of like an open area and the bars are sort of around, and just watching all the people in costumes walk by. Where's like the late night, or I guess any time of day, chill spot to just
sit? The late night chill spot is the Masquerade Bar. Okay. That is not in the convention center. They do have a Quarks Bar the last couple of years, and it is fun, and they do serve fun Star Trek themed, very strong last year, I remember, drinks. And there's also karaoke that I have participated in.
How do we turn the program off? Just asking.
I'm sorry?
How do we turn off the karaoke program? Is it like on deck?
No, come on.
Actual karaoke guy, and he comes and he has his songs, and we all sing. And Eric dresses up like Data and sings like Data in character. So that he always does Mr. Roboto.
Never saw the sun shining so bright. Never saw things.
Exactly.
I thought we could celebrate our conjugation.
Oh, dear.
So the Masquerade Bar?
I hope they get a more up-to-date DJ because he didn't have some of the newer fun ones that we all wanted to do, like, you know, Taylor Swift. When you're drunk, everything sounds like a good idea.
Because, I mean, my favorite thing was just sort of at Dragon Con, late at night, too, is just to sit around and just, you know, hey, you're talking to me, but just watch all the costumes walk around and sort of...
Costuming is more during the day at creation, at the Rio. I would say by the end of the evening, yes, some people are still in costume, usually the more comfortable costumes, like just your uniform or, you know, they're in the dealer's room. There's always a lot of people walking around with, like, their big... Some people come dressed like Lego characters as Star Trek. Last year there were minions, like a Kirk and Spock minion, and they were really big. They get some really creative ones going on. Like, trying to think of really, really good ones. Oh, but you know, you get like Andorians and people who obviously spend a lot of time on their makeup and their costume. I'd say the Borg is probably one of the harder ones to walk around and be able to see. But I think just they do have the costume contest. Terry Farrell. I was there when Terry Farrell came out in her getup. She looked really awesome.
Wedding gown or whatever, right?
I actually missed the wedding gown. She was there when she was wearing a TOS outfit.
When they were going for the
breaking the record one.
The record, yeah.
We broke the record. Yay! I helped. So that seeing people in costume is just like. Just the walking around during the day, taking photos at all of the fun photo stations,
Now, would you like to explain perhaps the written and or unwritten rules of how you take photos and how you...
Oh, definitely. Yeah. If you want to take a photo of somebody in costume and say, oh, your costume is so cool, do you mind if I take your photo? And they will almost always say yes. I have never had anybody say no, go away. So,
asking is very important.
Ask for consent is very important. You know, even if their costume is really cool, don't touch it unless you have permission.
Usually the only reason I could think of someone needing to like saying no is if it's because I've been in costume a lot for Star Wars events, and you know, we'll almost always stop for photos because we love taking photos. I mean, and
that's why you're dressed up.
But there's a time when like Vader's got to get that helmet off. And so we're heading back to the room, and honestly, we're not stopping. So that's the only time I've ever seen people say no, is when they need to take a break. You know,
that's up to the individual cosplayers. Sometimes maybe if there's a little kid in there in costume, if they have to ask their parents if you want to take the picture of the family or the little kid.
But it's kind of known if you are in costume, people are going to want to take your picture. Not that they shouldn't ask, but
you dress, especially if it's a very elaborate costume, that person is obviously going to be, you know, given the kudos they deserve. And that's part of the reason why they're dressing up.
So. Yeah.
And usually I find if you ask, they'll usually do some cool pose instead of just like, hey, walking by, I'm going to do it. You know?
Right. Or they hug you, or they like, you know, it's silly. If they do like a funny pose or a funny face.
My favorite is, one of my favorite photos I took of someone in costume, I know this is going to be a little weird, is someone did Robin 2, who was that, Tim? They had on the back of the cape from The Killing Game, you know,
who
was here, and so they would lay down. Like they had it was awesome.
That's really cool. Yeah. No, that's cool. People, they, you know, sometimes people set up a time. I know the cheer fleet, the Starfleet cheerleaders, they do like a big photo op. They'll have a time, like they'll say, oh, we're meeting at 1 o'clock on Thursday in front of this thing and we're all going to take a picture.
Okay. Speaking of how to behave. So either getting your autograph or your photo op, presumably you've bought that by now.
You can buy them there. They're usually the line about buying the photo up there is not a big deal usually. Like this is sold out for the first time though, so who knows?
And you're meeting your favorite person ever, and you probably have how many seconds? How do you handle it, Amy? What's the best way to get your one-on-one?
The best way to get your one-on-one. Oh my goodness. Well,
instead of just screaming in their face and then be like, next person.
It's hard. It's hard. Especially if you're overwhelmed and you haven't met the person before. Usually I like think of what something short that I want to say to them. If we have a few more minutes, like if they're at a table in the vendor's room, they'll take more time with you. So usually you can talk to Jonathan Frakes or Marina Sirtis for like a few minutes and tell them, you know, like I've been a fan.
Remember that time we interviewed you, Marina? It was great. How was that burrito?
I remember you from Earl Grey. Yeah, that helps. Yeah.
I interviewed her too at her table. So she's very nice and obliging about that kind of thing. They do schedule them very tightly. So if they say they have to go, they're not lying.
and that's another thing to remember is, you know, they are also people. And especially
tired and hungry.
If they're, you know, I'd say there's kind of two other instances, you know, it's the unscripted ones. When, let's say you're walking along the con floor and Brent Spiner is walking somewhere, you know, or Brent Spiner's eating at the restaurant. Okay, we're just going to say right off the bat, no.
If don't interrupt eating, someone when they're eating.
Not go up to eating, them.
Or, and I'm sure it's unlikely, but if they have family with them.
Yeah. Yeah. They just want to enjoy the convention as well. And, you know, it's keeping it short and sweet, but, you know, they're not on work. They're not on the clock at that moment.
Sorry, my cat just took my new little machine keychain off the bed and ran away. Yes, do not interrupt people when they are eating, and do not if they're in the hallway and they're on the move, they're generally because they have to be at a photo op or they have to be at a panel or they just need a break. So, you know, they're on all day, whereas that five minutes we have with them is our only 5 minutes with them. Right. They are like turned on.
And maybe they are also in the market for Wesley's Twitter from the merch section. So let them shop.
I actually was looking at a jewelry display last year, and Brent came was standing next to me, and he asked me my opinion on a piece of jewelry for his wife. I thought that was nice.
So yeah, so I mean, they're people. They might ask you questions, but also just remember that everyone there knows who they are. So
be cool
and give them space and don't freak out.
As far as your autograph, you know, just make sure, you know, say like, you can say like when I met Nana Visitor for the first time, I hadn't ever gotten her autograph before. I think it was a couple, like 3 or 4 Vegases ago. I said, you know, I really love Major Kira, and I wrote my women's studies capstone on women in science fiction. And I, through studying, like, people write about Star Trek in academic journals and stuff, I said, you know, Kira has the most feminist agency. She even beats out Captain Janeway. And Nana loved that. She was like, that's the best.
Does not necessarily reflect the views of Earl Grey and its subsidiaries.
Yeah, so she, you know, something, you know, a little bit that tells a little bit about me, which is that I wrote a women's studies capstone and I'm cool like that. And she, you know, and a little bit about how much her character meant to you because you took the time to write about it and like research it. You know, that was why I chose that specific thing to say to her.
And you know,
are really fast. You barely have time to say hi, you're awesome, and then you're gone. So,
and remember, they aren't the technical manual. You can buy that.
No, they
and
don't
read
know
it yourself. They, I mean, just thinking of us producing this podcast, I mean, I don't listen to it very much. Very rarely will I listen to it after I've edited it and posted it. And so when they're making the show, they're just making the show. They're, I know there are actors
out
who
of order watched. Too.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
That's true. And it was 50 years ago for some of the episodes.
I can tell you, though, who is, having seen almost everybody on stage multiple times, I can tell you who knows their shit and who doesn't. So, like, Kate Mulgrew, she knows her shit. She knows the episode titles. She knows the character name. She knows the name of the ship. She is very on point with that. And I think that's just because she's, like, a serious theater actor and she's very good at memorizing.
Mm.
So I think that that's, like, something that has really helped her with the fans. When they interact with her, Patrick Stewart doesn't know anything. he's like, I don't remember that. Who else is really? Garrett Wong remembers everything. He's really great. I think he's great. I actually, this is something that I've suggested to people in the higher up echelon, which is that they have an MC for the entire convention, not just like Adam Malin, who runs Creation. He sits on stage sometimes for the panelists. Sometimes they sit on, they're just up out there by themselves with a mic.
Yeah. Moderation helps a lot.
Moderation helps a lot. And I think Garrett would actually be a really great MC. He's young enough that he connects with both spectrums of fans.
He already does Dragon Con.
Yeah. He loves Dragon Con. He keeps telling me I have to come. he's great on the floor. He remembers you, which is crazy. I saw him in New Jersey, like, I don't even remember what year it was, like 2008, maybe 2009. And we chatted for a while. We chatted for like 20, 30 minutes. He was really awesome. And then my first Vegas, I was walking. I had just gotten there. We had just gotten in. We walk into the dealer room. Garrett was walking past me. He stopped, turned around, said, I know you. Your name is Amy. And I said, holy shit. How did you remember? So he's just somebody like who's just super good with the fans. And yeah. Who cares? He really cares and wants to remember and wants to like make your experience awesome.
Well, the last point I wanted to touch on was a little bit of what Trek FM is doing. And while, yes, we all know that we won't know precisely what anyone's doing until 2 days before the convention,
but
there are going to be a lot of us there. I think at least 15 hosts and producers and all sorts of people connected to the shows. And we're really looking forward to seeing you guys, to seeing our listeners, to talking about Star Trek. I mean, that's why we're all there. And so I think when we've talked before as a group, you know, we're all just excited to see each other. And a lot of the evenings, we're going to try to have hangouts. A lot of, you know, during the day, you know, we're going to let you guys know either through our programming or we're going to set up a
I think Twitter. The best idea, yeah, tweet with a hashtag so that everyone can follow that hashtag. Like, hashtag Trek FM meetup or something.
Exactly. We'll have a hashtag. I mean, Philip is the master of the hashtag, but we're also going to have a direct Twitter account just for the Vegas Con that we'll be posting where we will be. So it's not all about us, but if you want to find us, there'll be some times when
I think if we got if you meet in Quarks, there's a lot of room in there. They have these awesome like bean bags that are there. You can like chill. There's like little chest trek, the little multi-layered chest.
Ooh.
There's like a you know like cornhole with like Quark's face on it that you play with Tribbles.
I mean, we are going to be playing a game of Star Trek, the interactive VCR board game, a Klingon Challenge, at least once.
Right.
Yay.
And just a warning to listeners, Daniel doesn't shake hands. Don't look him in the eye either.
Daniel, you've been so quiet. Do you have any questions for your first convention ever?
No. You know, it's, I don't want to be too, how do you say, how do you say this expresses? I don't want to be too vulgar about it or anything, but you know, it's like your first time with anything. You just,
it's going to be awkward and messy. Just figure that and it'll be the right
way. Yeah, you just
it's
go.
It's sweaty and
it'll be over before you know it, Daniel.
I don't want to be overprepared. I just want to go and just have fun. And you know, here's the thing we mentioned in the beginning. If there's going to be so many people around me that know what they're doing, that I actually don't even need to. I'll just
follow the people.
That's exactly what my plan is. Just
yes, on the floor.
Gonna wake up and be like, oh, Darren's going to the supermarket. Guess that's where I'm going today.
Yeah. So I'm not too worried about it.
That is a great attitude.
If anybody wants restaurant recommendations, we've done a lot. I've gone to a lot of them now. Obviously, there's a billion of them in Vegas. I have my favorites. I have a tradition now, first night of the convention, we go to Canaletto in the Venetian, which is like my favorite. I could never afford to stay there, but I love the Venetian. It's a really beautiful hotel. And you should go in just to like walk in there because it is impressive.
You got to go in the gondola ride?
Yes, I've been on a gondola ride.
I saw Phantom of the Opera there.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we saw, what did we see? Jersey Boys? I think we saw Jersey Boys.
My favorite is actually, just for quick, my favorite is Caesar's Palace because I love Caesar's Forum. So you get to go in all these shops that I don't ever usually see around here. And I've always learned, this is the thing, the fewer items in the store, the more expensive it is. You'll see like three purses in a store. You're like, I think they're $15,000 each or something.
Yeah, probably like, but the thing about Caesar's is hilarious is my husband came for the first time. He'd taken the New York bar. He's an attorney. And he was... he had just finished the bar. He'd finished law school and we were out there to kind of celebrate after, at least I stayed a few days after the convention. And when you're walking past Caesars, you realize 15 minutes later that you're still walking past Caesars.
And my favorite weird thing about Vegas is that, and I'll pick on just a random thing, M&M's. You're like, oh, hey, they have an M&M store. That's cute. One floor. Oh, there's a second floor. There's four floors dedicated to M&M's. How much can you possibly do?
The one in Times Square, which is even larger.
Oh, man. Now, because if there was a Jelly Belly factory of four floors, I'd be down. But
yeah. There's fun spots. Like, if I don't know if any of you have been to the Earl of Sandwich in Orlando.
Earl Grey in front of the Earl of Sandwich? I think we could do that.
Oh my God. I love the freaking Earl of Sandwich. And it's for a long time, it was only in Orlando. Now they have one in New York. But there's one, and I found out there was one in Vegas. I was excited beyond all reason. So stuff like that. And like they have like the PBR bull like bar. It's like themed. And then you can get your giant cowboy boot of fleshy booze with like your vodka shots in it or whatever. They had the bodies exhibit there one year. They always have some kind of cool exhibit. They have the aquarium at Mandalay Bay, which is cool. It's like Shark Reef or something like that. Hey, it's Shark Week this week. Live every week like it's Shark Week. Awesome. So yeah, fun stuff.
Well, thank you, Amy, for beaming over to the 1701 this week. It's been really helpful picking your brain for Star Trek.
Thank you so much.
Great time.
You guys, if anybody needs anything, you can tweet me and LightStar1013, that's me. And I'm happy to answer all of your Vegas questions.
Awesome. Is there anywhere else someone can listen to you about Star Trek?
Well, I am probably going to be on an upcoming episode of Women at Worf. I did one before on Ensign Row. And the ladies over there are fantastic. And they are actually going to be all four in the same room for the first time ever at Vegas. So they've never all four been in the same place.
Same for us. We've never been in the same room to podcast.
This is going
to
be the most epic 50. Like, oh, it's going to be great.
You know, I think it might be one of those things where you have that long distance relationship, but then you finally meet in person. You're like, no thanks.
You know, I'm glad it's only 4 days. I'm just so excited.
Is this like kind of like the reverse Napoleon Dynamite when you meet La Fonda for the first kind of a thing?
Are you guys coming in on Tuesday or Wednesday?
Thursday. I'm coming in on Wednesday. I'm driving up Wednesday night.
Okay, so you're gonna be you'll miss the Wednesday like half day.
Yeah, no, I don't need to be there that many days. They're like, look, it's extra long. I'm like, I don't need it to be that long.
Well, you have little ones too. I'm sure your wife is super thrilled.
Oh, she's gonna have a good time with family.
I'm sure it'll be awesome.
So Star Trek Las Vegas is not the only thing we've been talking about here on Trek FM this week. Here's a look at what you may have missed elsewhere on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, The Ready Room.
You know, Star Trek All Access gives you a great acronym, though.
Star!
Star, yeah.
Yes.
Star!
Yeah, the upward angle on the... Yeah, totally get it.
The Orb.
I don't know if obsessive love is really love, because it's... I think it's more about possession. Yeah, and for Dukat, she's a possession of his, not really a relationship of his.
The 602 Club.
But yeah, Evan Peters has way too much fun with this character. I mean, he's really embracing it, and just always brings a smile to my face when I see him.
Saturday Morning Trek.
The 30 seconds that we spent on Scotty singing probably could have been used with a really fun, why are all these women in security uniforms standing around us?
Rather than just, you're more handsome than ever.
Yeah, that, what was that about?
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
You can listen to every show on the network at Trek.fm with links for iTunes, streaming services, and a direct download link. This week of Earl Grey is brought to you by Audible.com. This is a great way for you to read all of the books you want to read but never have time for. Audible is always expanding with over 150,000 titles to choose from. There are classics, current bestsellers, and famous Star Trek books like Prime Directive and Federation. Audible has something for everyone. Now, as a Trek FM listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice along with a 30-day trial to try out Audible yourself. So give it a try today. Catch up on all those classic Star Trek books you've yet to read. To support Trek FM, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm. Thank you, Audible, for supporting Earl Grey and Trek FM. If you are a weekly listener and would like to directly help Earl Grey, please consider becoming a patron of Trek FM. At patreon.com/trekfm, you can choose a pledge level and receive rewards for becoming a Trek FM patron. You'll be inside the Observation Lounge of our network, able to participate in our monthly patron roundtable podcasts, and supporting the production of all of our great content. We would like to take this moment to thank our current patron associate producers, Stephen Boyd and Ron Sarna. Thank you for supporting Earl Grey. Connect with other Trek FM listeners on our Facebook discussion group called The Babel Conference, found through the Facebook search field, or like the facebook.com/trekfm page for show updates and announcements. The network is also on Twitter, at Trek FM.
All right. Well, Philip, where can someone find you on this great internet if they want to follow your exploits next month at Star Trek Las Vegas?
They can find me on Twitter. I'm at NC Public Servant. That's NC for not new to cons. And I'm actually interested in what people would like to see from, you know, Vegas and what they'd like to see from us. So feel free to either, you know, contact us at Earl Grey or tweet any of us or, you know, on the Babel Conference. I'd love to hear everyone's ideas. And certainly, you know, the three of us will be together in some sort of comical handcuff thing of always being together. We look forward to seeing everyone.
And Daniel, if someone wanted to continue to the last minute making suggestions on what you should cosplay at Star Trek Las Vegas, where can they find you?
They can find me, of course, on Twitter, at OneUpDan. That is the number one, like, it's my first time, please go slow, kind of a thing.
Well, if someone wants to talk to me about my past con experience with other sci-fi shows, they can find me on Twitter under username Dr. Sci-Fi, DrSciFi. And from all of us here at Earl Grey, we are really looking forward to Star Trek Las Vegas. So we'll see you all there. See you guys online if you're not able to go. But anyway, we're just celebrating this 50th and this fandom that we all love so much. Live long and prosper.
Make it so.
Endgame.
Booyah.
Fire.